Right, good morning. So as Johnny says, I'm Eilis and I'm going to be talking about Psalm 67 with you this morning. The first part is going to be a little bit more teachery because you can take the teacher out of the classroom, but you can't take the classroom out of the teacher. Anyway, sorry, no. But I really like getting deep into God's word. And so we're going to bring a little bit of English literature skills to it this morning. We're going to learn a little bit. I'm sure you all know it anyway, but just in case you don't, it might be new information on how to study God's word, how to look at the Psalms in a different way. And if you do know, it's just a reminder of a really good way that we can get more out of these wonderful poems and songs that are in the Bible. And I've entitled this morning, Blessed to be a Blessing. And my hope is that you go out this morning feeling really blessed, knowing who you are in Jesus. Yeah, that God will bless your socks off this morning, but that won't stay just for you. Actually, that will lead to loads of other people being blessed as well. Okay, so I asked Luke, my husband, what appeared to be quite a tricky question yesterday. I said, what's the best gift you've ever received? Now, maybe if I asked you that question, you'd find it really easy to answer. I found it really difficult, which is why I ended up asking him, because it was a cop-out. I couldn't think of one for myself. I was once given a gift by someone who wasn't really a relative. It was a bit complicated. It was my dad's first wife's mum. But anyway. And it was really unexpected. And I loved her to pieces. And she was like a grandma to me. And that meant a lot to me. When I asked Luke what the best gifts he's received are, he said, unexpected blessing. When I get an unexpected blessing from somebody, they're always the best gifts. And especially because it's like an emotional burden gets lifted. I mean, I couldn't believe he was speaking these words. It's quite deep for him. So she knows. But anyway, yeah, so he was saying that's the best gift. So then I moved on to apparently what's an even harder question. What's the best gift you've ever given? I don't know what your answer would be for that. But again, he said, actually, when I know that I've given something to somebody and it's really blessed them and it's been unexpected and maybe it's lifted an emotional burden for them, that's the best. So gifts are powerful things, aren't they? And in the Bible and through like generations of Christian teaching, we've kind of got this mantra that it's better to give than to receive. And maybe even as you've thought there about gifts you've received or gifts you've given, maybe even there you can just recognize the difference in the feeling. When you get to bless somebody else, that is even better, isn't it, than getting the blessing for yourself. And however amazing it is to get, it is even better to give. And I believe we're like that because our God is like that. Actually, he's a God that loves to give. His whole character, Jesus, how he came, is all about giving. And we're going to learn a bit more about that this morning. I have to remember to do my little clicker as well today. So lots of things. Hey. Okay. So when we're looking at the Psalms, we're looking at ancient poetry, which is why we're going to get a little bit English lit this morning. Because we have to understand this form of writing, I believe, in order to get the most out of it. Okay. So Psalms were written as prayers and as songs. And the one we're looking at this morning, I want us to remember that often these were used by the Jewish people when they were in exile. Okay, so they were blessed by God, they were called to be his people, but they messed up. And so foreign invaders came, and a lot of them were taken out to live in a foreign nation. And the psalm we're looking at today is them looking back at what God did. And say, remember how you blessed us in the past. Remember what you did, Lord God. Do that again in the future. And as Christians, we are living in that same kind of environment, aren't we? We've been called out. We're different now. We've been made new. Okay, we're new creations in Christ, but we're still living in the same world that we once were totally a part of. So we don't quite fit there either. And we're remembering, we know what God's done in our life, and we know the promises for the future. And we're saying, Lord God, we want you to do that again. So as we look at our psalm this morning, we're going to be bearing that in mind. Now, the second thing that I want us to bear in mind about this is that poetry, as it was written in ancient times, like in the Psalms, is quite different from our modern day poetry. So I've got a couple of examples of modern day poetry for you. I had fun finding these. So this is Who Has Seen the Wind by Christina Rossetti. Who has seen the wind? Neither I nor you. But when the leaves hang trembling, the wind is passing through. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by. We've got another short one. I like this one. Figs from Thistles by Edna St. Vincent Millay. My candle burns at both ends. It will not last the night. But ah, my foes and oh, my friends, it gives a lovely light. So in our modern day poetry, we have a real sense of rhythm and rhyme. Okay, and that's how we're used to recognising it's a poem. Okay, because it's written like that. Now, when we come to the Psalms, they are written differently because they are written in ancient poetry. Okay, and they're usually or often written in lines of two. And so you see the line is in two halves. Okay, now the line of two can emphasize or build. So, for example, why do the nations conspire? So you've got nations conspiring, and the peoples plot in vain. So you've got nations conspire, peoples plot in vain. It's building, it's giving you more information about the first thing. Or you might get contrast. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. So you've got sowing and reaping, tears and joy. They're contrasting, but they're within what would look to us like the same line of poetry. Or they can add a lot more detail. So the Lord is my shepherd, and you could add in therefore or so, I shall not be in want. Because he's like that, this is now what it means for me. Okay, so when we're looking at Hebrew poetry or ancient poetry, that's the kind of detail that we're looking at. So now finally, we're going to get around to the actual psalm that we're looking at this morning. So we're reading from Psalm 67. It probably is helpful for you to find it in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible and you want to read it, put your hand up, or you can find it on an app, or you can just read it from the screen. So Psalm 67, we're going to read it, then we're going to do a bit of studying on it, and then hopefully we're going to get lots out of it. So Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Okay, so that's what we're looking at this morning. Now, if you've been a Christian for a little while, you may think that that first part seems really, really familiar to you. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Okay, now that is actually from Numbers 6, verse 24, and it's a blessing that Aaron the priest was called to say over the people of Israel. It said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So when we're looking at the start of this psalm, the people of Israel were remembering this priestly blessing that was spoken over them as a nation. They were calling it to mind. They were singing for God to do it again. Okay, so they were saying, God, remember this blessing that you told Aaron the priest to say over us as a people. Lord God, we're remembering that. Would you do that again? But as we look further on, why are they asking God to do it again? Just so that they feel good? Just so that they have an easy life? No. They want God to do it again for the sake of his glory. They want the nations to see his salvation. They want his ways to be known on earth. They want all the peoples to praise him. They want nations singing for joy because they're under God's fair and just rule and authority. They want all the ends of the earth to fear the Lord. Okay. So we're going to look a little bit closer now at this Aaron's blessing. So if you want to turn to Numbers 6:24, you can. But I've already read it, okay? And basically, it was a priestly blessing to the people of Israel, and they were supposed to be a visible sign to all the nations around that would lead to increasing glory for God. Because the nations were meant to see, wow, if we live God's way, look how blessed they are. Look how wonderful their lives are. Look how peaceful they are. Look how full of joy they are. Look how settled they are. We want some of that. Maybe we should follow this God too. That was their whole purpose, was to draw others to them. And God was supposed to get all the glory. So if we look at this now, I'm going to pull it apart a little bit. So this is where it gets a bit English litty, if it hasn't been enough already for you. So we've got the first line of the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. So I've compared those two words, okay, because that's the two halves of the line like we were looking at before. So bless refers to like a good harvest, a peace, having children, knowing God's presence with them. So that was the first part of the blessing. But then it builds. Keep means to guard and protect. So God wasn't just going to be a distant God that provided what they needed, made sure they had children, made sure they had food, but kept his distance. No, he was going to guard them. He was going to protect them. They were his. Let's look at the next line. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now that phrase, face to shine, that's a picture of a smiling face looking down on you. That's good favor. So that's knowing God's favor. Well, that's great, isn't it? But be gracious to you. Well, being gracious means being generous, forbearing, so bearing with you when you do things wrong, being merciful, forgiving, compassionate, and kind. Well, that's a lot more, isn't it, than just going, oh, I give you my favor. Actually, I'm going to show you compassion. I'm going to show you kindness. I'm going to be merciful towards you. I'm going to forgive you. And then the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So lift up his countenance. That, again, is the expression of treating with favor. So God's going to treat them with favor again. But give you peace. Well, that sounds great. Yeah, I have peace. Well, that meant shalom, which meant total well-being. So God's blessing over his people was to give them, to provide for them, give them children, help them to flourish, but also to guard and protect them, to show his favor, to be merciful towards them, to forgive them, to be kind, show his compassion, and to give them total well-being. And then it ended with, they will put my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless them. That was God's blessing. That was what he wanted to do. And that is what they are calling to mind as we begin this psalm. So let's go back to Psalm 67. With all of that in mind, when they're saying, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, they're remembering that blessing. They're remembering that promise of God of who they were made to be. But then they move on. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So they are now finally remembering the bigger purpose for which they were called. God had to take them into exile. He had to do loads of different things. But they're finally remembering that they're not just called to be sucker-iners of God's blessing. They're not just called to have these amazing lives of total well-being just for themselves. But actually, it's so that his ways may be known on earth and his salvation among all nations. And now they're asking God to remember it too. We can see then they move on to may the peoples praise you, God. Great, these peoples. May the peoples praise you. No, may all the peoples. They build it, don't they? It's that building again with that second line. May all the peoples. they're realizing that this isn't just for them. This isn't just for a small group of Israelites. This is for the nations of the world. It says, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. Well, be glad means you're cheered up, you feel joyful, great. But sing for joy means you can't hold it in. You cannot contain what you're experiencing. It has to be expressed. You have to shout it out. You have to do something with it. It's not just a, and I don't mean this rudely, it's not just to stand with your hands up in a meeting going, thank you, God, for blessing me. Actually, may the nations be glad. May they be cheered up. May they be made joyful. But may they be brought to a place where they sing for joy. They cry out. They can't contain their joy at what God's done for them. And why are they singing out? Because you rule. God rules the peoples with equity, and he guides the nations of the earth. Now, this thing of equity, it was a word that meant bringing people into, if you imagine, a flat piece of ground that's elevated and it's free of all obstacles, it's level. It's a place of comfort, prosperity, safety, and kind of your government dealing with you in uprightness. So they're a righteous government. So God rules the peoples in a level place, in a place of prosperity and safety, a level place, free from obstacles. That's where he brings people and how he rules them. And it says, and he guides the nations of the earth. Well, God's guiding means he governs, he leads them, and he guides them in prosperity and righteousness. So actually, as the people are led by God, they're led into this open place of goodness, of righteousness. They're dealt with fairly. And so they are glad and they sing for joy. That's what God wants for the nations. He doesn't want fighting and war and disease and famine. He wants peace and prosperity and fairness and for them to be ruled with righteousness and justice. It says, the land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. Now, that word yields means it shoots out, it gives up. And that made me think of Eden and the curse that came because of mankind not choosing to follow God's way. Actually, there was a curse that came, wasn't there, that caused the land to make it hard to grow. You had to work the land and it was going to fight back against you. Well, God's blessing reverses that curse. God's blessing causes the land to yield, to be fruitful. Why? So that all the ends of the earth will fear him. This isn't just a shaking, quaking in fear, but this is an awe of God, a reverence, honoring God, respecting God. And so we can see in this psalm that the blessing that God pours out, that they're crying for, actually then leads to people seeing that God delivers them. It leads to God being recognized. Nations will rejoice because God doesn't just guide and exercise authority over Israel, but he's showing a pattern. How he deals with Israel is how he wants to deal with the whole world. And as we go back through the Bible, we can see this timeline of blessings. So we start off in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. And God is creating the world and everything in it. And he blesses the animals and he tells them, be fruitful and multiply. Then he creates humans and he blesses them, saying, rule over these animals and this creation. Subdue it, have dominion, subdue the earth. Bring it under control, make it fruitful. But then obviously Adam and Eve choose to not follow God's plan. And that brings about them being sent away from Eden, and there are curses that come in. But God still wants to bless humankind. And so he chooses a family. He chooses a man, Abraham. And his family, God chooses his family, and he demonstrates his favor. He pours out his favor on Abraham. But the promise is always, in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. It was never just for him. Then we move on to the Israelites. And now a whole nation is chosen from among all the other nations. And they are blessed and they're given land. And they're supposed to show God's glory to the nations and become a blessing to all the nations. But again, they messed it up. They get sent into exile. They choose not to go God's way. So then God came himself. He comes as Jesus. And he came not to be blessed, but to bring blessing. But he did it in a completely different way, didn't he? He brought the Sermon on the Mount. Bless those who curse you. He brought an upside down kingdom that turned everything on its head. Through his obedience to God, he reversed all those curses that came about through mankind not obeying God. And then he blesses his disciples in Luke 24. And he tells them to go and share this good news with others. Now, it takes them a while. We've seen through Acts, we've been studying Acts, haven't we, as a church? And we've seen that it takes them a while to realize again that the blessing isn't just for the Jewish people, it isn't just for a few, but it's for all nations. Because the Great Commission is to go out to the ends of the earth. So this blessing of Jesus is for anyone who will call on his name. And so now we get to us. We're living in the blessing of Jesus. And we're called to live generously. We're called to be blessed, to be a blessing. We're called to show that every nation can enjoy abundance in God. We're called to show what it means to not live under any curses anymore. And it's just that remembrance, isn't it, that we serve a God who gives rather than receives and who pours himself out for those who can offer nothing. And God doesn't want some of the people, some of the time. But he wants all peoples to know his blessing and to bring him glory. And as we live out our lives for Jesus, his wisdom is revealed. That incredible upside downness of the kingdom shows its marvelous wisdom, doesn't it? And how incredible it is and what it changes. So we need to remember that, like the Israelites were in this psalm that we've looked at today, we're exiles in this land. We're God's people living in a foreign place. And we're called, it's good to cry out for God's blessing. We want his peace. We want total well-being in him. We want his favor, but not just for ourselves. We want it for his glory. We want all to see and all to know. We want our nation changed and saved, don't we? We have the blessings of God's kingdom, and we can share them with those around us. We want to draw close to God and know him and allow him to change us. And we want our lives to reflect his beauty. And it is incredible, isn't it, what God does with lives. When I think about my life and I look at how many blessings I have, it is genuinely all God. When I look at how it should have turned out, it should be completely different. And if you ever want to come and ask me about that, I can tell you a lot about my history and my family and things like that. But when I look at what God has done in my life, and it is not me, and I'm just as amazed as anybody else when I look at my life, at what God has done with it, and how he's changed me, and what he's done with what he had to start with. And that is the amazingness of God's blessing, isn't it? We want to be a people who say, have you seen what God has done in my family? Have you seen the change in my mental health? Have you seen how my kids' lives have turned around? Have you seen how my marriage has been mended? Have you seen how much I've changed? Well, it's not me. It's all him. And the good news is, it's not just for me, it's for you too. Can you imagine how powerful that is? I was having my hair done earlier in the week. I love my hairdresser. She's amazing. But she was just starting to share some of the stuff that's going on in her life. And I chickened out because what I should have done is go, oh, do you know what Jesus has done in my life? He can do it for you too. I didn't. I nodded and I smiled. I went, and I thought, right, I'm going to be praying for her. And I'm going to keep going to see her as my hairdresser. So hopefully I can build up to that in the future. But people are broken. Maybe you feel broken this morning. God can mend you, and God can mend them, and God can bring shalom, that total well-being, and God can bring peace, and God can bring healing. But that's not the end point. We don't just do it so we have great lives. We want that to be our testimony. Look what God has done. We want it to point to him. And we want all of Bognor to be changed. We want every broken heart in Bognor to encounter Jesus and be mended. And we don't want it to stop at Bognor. We want it to be the whole of the UK that encounters Jesus and is mended. And we don't want it to stop in the UK. We want all nations to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and be mended, because that's how he gets the glory. Look what he starts with. Look at the mess. Look at the confusion. Look at the fear. Look at the doubt. Then look what he does. Look what blessing he brings. Look how he changes it. And who does the glory go to? To God. The glory goes to God because it's impossible without him. That's the only way it makes sense, is that God has intervened and God has done something. Our testimony is always, it's him, not me. And that is so powerful. And so this morning, I've asked Kim and the band to play a song over us, which you probably heard before, is The Blessing. And my prayer is this morning that you are so blessed. My prayer is that you encounter God and he changes you, and he changes your mind and hit your heart and your family and whatever situations you're facing. But my prayer is that it does not end there, that you remember who you are. That you don't seek this blessing just so you feel better, but that you see the bigger picture. That you seek God and his peace and his presence and his blessing for you, for your family, for Mosaic Church, for Bognor, the UK, and for the ends of the earth. And please, you know, as we go and we worship, if God's stirring stuff in you, find someone to pray with. You can come find one of us at the end. I'm not going to do a big come out the front thing because I want you to feel comfortable. But if God is doing stuff in you, don't just shove it back down again and move on. Let him do what he's doing. Go to someone you trust and ask them to pray with you. And let's just receive this song. Let's receive these words. Let's be blessed because we are his. And if you don't know Jesus today, then it is absolutely possible for you to step into this blessing today. It's absolutely possible for you to come and know him and be set free and to know this upside down kingdom and to be made whole and right in him. And you can come and ask any of us and we can tell you more about that. But the band are just going to play over us now. Let's just receive, let's just look at, you know, receive from what they're doing. And allow Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do amongst us.